Praised be Jesus and Mary. The Church commemorates the sorrows of Our Lady twice during the year. Today's feast was instituted by Pius VII after his return from captivity and exile, which lasted from 1809 to 1814. And since the 15th century, the Friday before Good Friday has also been dedicated to Our Lady's compassion. And to understand this double liturgy, we must understand that Mary is not only the mother of Jesus, but also she's the mother of His mystical body, the Church. We know that Christ no longer suffers. And for Our Lady also, all suffering, as we understand it, has ceased. Nonetheless, the prophet Jeremiah, in his lamentations, asked, "To whom shall you be compared, O virgin? Your affliction is like the ocean." A mother who is happy in her home weeps, you know, just the same over the sorrows of her children. The statues and the pictures of Mary all over Europe wept before the revolution in France. And her statues weep again today in many places. The Passion of Christ continues in His elect, in particular in His vicar on earth, you know, from whom He does not separate Himself, and against whom the force of hell is unleashed unceasingly. The loving compassion of the Blessed Mother is forever acquired for the mystical body of her Son. And this mystical body, which must reproduce the divine death of Jesus in its human nature, our life must be elevated above its natural condition. And it is by the superhuman power of grace. This grace which sustained Our Lady in her sorrows. Well, Mary's great sorrows begin with the prediction of Simeon that a sword would pierce her heart. Soon afterwards, she was obliged to flee to Egypt with Jesus. Jesus, who was already the object of a fatal search. And her third sorrow was losing Him for three painful days in the temple. Father Faber, in his book, which goes into the sorrows of Our Lady, says this was her greatest sorrow. She knew that He would be the suffering Messiah, and she was separated from Him. Had His hour already come, and she was not there. Next, she met Him on the road to Calvary. A sight which no doubt pierced her heart. of course, you know, after that, she saw him die, heard his final cry, witnessed the opening of his side with a lance. And then she received him into her arms, the lifeless body of her divine son. Finally, she was obliged to bury him in a tomb, leave him there, and return with her adopted son, John, to Jerusalem. The Queen of Martyrs has never ceased to encourage her children on earth to bear their own crosses. Our crosses, which complement the passion of her son. He suffered first the ordinary contradictions of life. For 3 years of his public ministry, he was taunted and was regarded a menace by those who should have recognized him and his mission. He knew hunger, and cold, and fatigue. You know, he slept so heavily in a boat during a great storm that we could only suppose that he was exhausted from his ministry. He knew what it was to be abandoned and in need and to lose followers that he had called his own. Jesus is our forerunner in all human sorrows and difficulties. And Mary, as his mother, offered to God with him all the afflictions of his earthly life. This feast reminds us to offer all our sorrows in union with Jesus and Mary for the sanctification of the church, for the suffering souls in purgatory, for the salvation of our souls, especially those most dear to us. And our mother knows what we go through. She's our mother. You know how concerned mothers are for their children. You know, she's more concerned for the salvation of our loved ones than we are. But she asks us to pray, to sacrifice, so that those graces will be generated that she can use for their salvation.